One of the really wonderful, enjoyable things that pastors and elders get to do from time to time is we interview those who are joining Northridge Church. And the reason we do that is because we don't want anyone to mistakenly think that joining a church is a ticket to heaven. And we want to hear people's testimony of how they came to know the Lord and what kind of transpired in their life to bring them to that place where they came to know him as their Savior. And so I didn't ask Mary Musser's permission to do this, but this morning we were interviewing Gary and Mary Musser, and Mary was telling the story about how she'd been interviewed for church membership back in the early 80s at another church. And at the time she wasn't a believer, but she thought she was. And so she kind of stumbled through that. And one of the things she commented on was that the fact that she didn't read, the Bible didn't make a lot of sense to her, nor did the pastor's sermons make a lot of sense to her. And then they actually were hosting a home group, a church home group in their house. And she finally, you know, all the pieces came together and the Lord got through and she became a follower of Jesus. And when that happened, of course, that's a supernatural thing that God does in our life. And so suddenly, the Word of God became alive and the pastor's sermons made perfect sense, you know. And that was just great to hear that. And to me, it was just a reminder that we sometimes, many of us have that kind of thing in our testimony somewhere. You maybe have grown up in a Christian environment or a church environment, and so for you, that's what Christianity is. It's kind of going to church and doing the church things, and I just want to remind you that that's not what it is. It's being restored to a relationship with the living God by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to bear your punishment, to bear your sin there, in order that you can be freely forgiven. The Bible uses the word justified. That is, you're made just in the eyes of God, even though you're not just. Your unrighteousness becomes righteousness because he clothes you in his presence. We just all need to be reminded of that occasion. There are sometimes those among us who just need to be nudged a little bit into the kingdom and into a relationship with the Lord. Over these last Sundays, I've been preaching on the victory of Christ, the victory that's in Christ. And that was born out of a kind of a heaviness. When you watch the news these days, it just feels like the world's coming unglued. There's all kinds of international instability. There just seems to be violence on every hand, both out there in the world someplace, but even violence on the streets of our own country and in our own neighborhoods. Things are going on within our country that even just a few decades ago would have been unimaginable, but are now an accepted part of our culture. And it's easy to become disheartened by all this that we see going on. And it was kind of the need of my own soul that I need to preach on the victory of Christ. I need to be reminded of that. And so we've been doing that over these last weeks. We began with Christ's victory over Satan. And the Word of God tells us that when Jesus begins his ministry, that he goes there into the wilderness place, and there he is tempted by the enemy, Satan. And of course he doesn't allow the enemy to win, but the reality of the battle is with him and will be with him throughout his earthly ministry. And then he keeps running into people who are under demonic oppression and possession, and he delivers them, sets them free, and the kingdom of God is beginning to advance into the kingdom of darkness. And then when he goes to the cross, Paul later speaks of that and writes in Colossians 2:15, he says Christ has disarmed the powers and authorities. That's the spiritual powers of authorities of darkness, of evil. Christ has disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. And then we talked about Christ's victory over sin, how he bears our sin. And again in Colossians 2:13 and 14, Paul writes, God made you, that is, you and I, he made us alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Hallelujah. Jesus has won that victory over Satan and over sin. And he's won the victory over this world, this world at its worst, this evil world, the world systems that are opposed to God. And as he prays for his disciples in John 17, he says, just as my Father has sent me into the world, now I'm sending you into this world. I'm not, you know, he doesn't call us to kind of escape and kind of form our own little clusters of like-minded people and let the rest of the world go. He says, I'm sending you into the world. And then he also prays that we'll be sanctified or set apart and as those who belong to the Lord. And then in John 16, 33, he's talking to his disciples and he's saying, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And then last Sunday, Easter Sunday, we gathered, we saw the victory of Christ over death. 1 Corinthians 15, 24, then the end will come. The end of this age, the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, for he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death dies. You read on through that chapter, you come to the toward the end of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, verse 54. He concludes things by saying, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been speaking about the victory of Christ over Satan and over sin and over the world and over death. But at the end of that 15th chapter, Paul says, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, because we stand with those same enemies, don't we? Satan, who wants to harass and destroy us. Sin that wants to master and enslave us. A world that wants to conform us to its values and its standards. Death that wants to have the last word in our life. Thanks be to God, he gives us the victory. Now, when we talk about the victory of the Lord Jesus, we look back at all the glorious events that we've just celebrated together during the Passion of Christ, the Holy Week, His death and his resurrection and his ascension back to be at the Father's right hand and all those things. We look back to the victories that were won there. And then we look ahead to the victories that one day will be realized in all their fullness in the coming kingdom, when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and all things will be put under his feet. So we look back to the victory of Christ in the past. We look ahead to the victory that's in the future. And here we stand at this moment, and we've just read, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is our question. To what degree is it possible for us to live this Christian life today in this world victoriously? Is it possible for us to live victoriously? Yes. There's testimony throughout the scripture to that, isn't there? Ephesians 2, 4 and 6, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it's by grace you've been saved. God raised us up with Christ. He seated us with Christ in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. This isn't something where we're just waiting till one day when we get to heaven, then everything's going to be fine. We are already, even now, alive with Christ, raised up with Christ, seated with Christ. So when you come to Romans chapter 8, one of those great passages of Scripture, it says in verse 31, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." More than conquerors through him who loved us. And the testimony of Scripture over and over is that God shares his victory with us. You and I are those that can say confidently, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does Scripture attest to that, but we see the lives of great men and women of God who have lived lives marked by victory. Some of them are names that are well known through the ages of church history, but most of them are not. Many of these believers whose lives bear witness to victory in Christ are people who we've never heard of. I think of growing up in the church that I was raised in. And I remember even as a young child observing in the lives of some of the people in that church, there was no doubt about it, they were living for the Lord. His power was on them. His love filled their hearts. His peace radiated from them. His joy was their strength. They're people you've never heard of, but they were part of that church. Herb Windus and Mary Ballard and Tommy Klein, is now up in years, but he'd been a plumber. Not much education, but a good plumber. And a man of God, a man who walked in the presence of God. And I looked at those adults as a child growing up in that church, and I saw in their lives marked by victory in the Lord that was there alongside of times of great trials and suffering and loss. These people were not immune from those things. Their lives were marked by those things just as our lives are. But there was a wonderful victory in Christ. How do we live like that? I want to shift gears here slightly and take you to a verse of testimony in Galatians 2:20. Many of you know this verse well. It's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, you'll recognize it. It's where Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Now, the book of Galatians that this passage is found in is a book in which Paul is speaking to the churches in Galatia because there have come among them some who are trying to get them to revert back to the old way of trying to please God, which was in the keeping of the law. If you just keep the rules, then God's happy with you. And there were those who were coming to the church, and that was kind of their approach to religion. And Paul was saying, no, that's not the gospel. That's not good news. That's bad news, because if you can only please God by keeping the rules, you'll never pull that off. The good news is that Jesus did it for you. There's righteousness in Christ because he paid the price that you should have paid. And so in the course of this book, you come to verse 20 of chapter 2, and what you have here, this is not a doctrinal thing. This is not, that is, it's not Paul teaching them something. Rather, what it is a testimony. It's him sharing what's true about his life. And he says this about himself and his own walk with God. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Now, were we to ask him, Paul, wait a minute. What do you mean by that when you say, I have been crucified with Christ? Forgive me for being so bold as to put words in the mouth of Paul, but he might have said something like this. Well, first of all, it means that when Jesus died on the cross, even though I wasn't following him yet, that I was nonetheless in Christ. Just as the Word of God tells us that all of us were in Adam when Adam sinned and brought sin on the human race. Thus we have this old sinful nature. Our human nature is sinful because we were in Adam. But when Jesus died on the cross, the Scripture says we were in Christ. That is, we were there in the sense that our sin was there. Jesus was bearing our sin in his body on the tree, is what the Scripture says. He's bearing our sin in his body as he hangs on that cross. And so though we were not even born yet, we were crucified with Christ there when he hung on the cross. But I think Paul would say there's more to it than that. I was also crucified with Christ there on the road to Damascus when suddenly I heard the voice from heaven and saw the light, and God called me into his family. And as I repented of my sin and put my faith in him, there was a new birth. There was a supernatural work of God. I wasn't just saying, yep, this is the doctrine, I agree with that, I'll sign my name and I'm in. I was saying yes to God's offer of salvation, and as a result of that act of faith, God did a supernatural, miraculous work in me, and he brought life where there was only death, spiritual life where before there had been nothing but death. There was now a new birth in me. And at that moment, as I said, yes, Lord, I will take up my cross and follow you, I was crucified with Christ. That is, my old nature was put to death, crucified with Christ as he made me new. And then he might have said, you know, and then there was the moment of my baptism. Because baptism is a wonderful picture of us dying with Christ, being buried with Christ, then being raised with Christ. When I was baptized, I was declaring and affirming the fact that I have been crucified with Christ, and I now live a new life because I've also been resurrected with Christ. And then there's the ongoing day-to-day of being crucified with Christ. Day by day, just agreeing again with what God has declared to be true about me. And living that out, a life in which I am crucified with Christ, so the old me, the old Saul of Tarsus, is no longer lives. But rather, Christ lives in me. It's Christ alive in me. It's his Spirit now dwelling in my body, so that my body becomes the temple of his Holy Spirit, his empowering life in me, his holiness in me, his peace in me, his joy in me. It's not me anymore. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God. So that what he is saying here is not something that he's finally attained to. It's not saying I finally figured it out. I've been kind of growing in my Christian faith in a long time, and I finally have gotten to the place where I can say, you know what? I've been crucified with Christ. He's not saying that. He said that has always been true of him. From the moment he became a believer, by faith, he'd been crucified with Christ. And it's always been true of you if you're a child of God. You were crucified with Christ. When he was crucified, you were crucified with him. And the old you is gone. And there's a new life that has been brought to birth. Now, we do need to live that out. That's why Paul in Romans 7 talks about the reality of that, and then says, now, count yourself as one who's dead indeed in the sin, but alive in Christ. Sanctification is the process by which we become what God has already declared us to be. What he's declared about us is true, and that is that we were crucified with Christ. He did that. That's not our work. That's not something we're trying to pull off or make happen in our life. He did that work. It's already done. We were crucified with Christ, so we no longer live. If you're a child of God, that's true about you. And the life which you now live in this body, you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. You know, for much of my younger years of following Christ, I let that verse kind of beat me up. I would think, man, I got to figure out how to live this way. I got to figure out how to crucify my old nature. I've got to figure out how to kind of, you know, and I was trying to kind of white knuckle the whole thing and see if I try hard or maybe I'll get it right next week, you know. And you keep working at it, and it just doesn't ever seem to, you never quite seem to be able to get there. And the glorious truth here is that this is not Paul saying, I worked at it till I finally figured it out and got it. But he's saying, no, this has always been true. I am crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And so the life which I'm now living in this body, I'm living by faith in the Son of God. And remember, you've heard me say this often before, but faith is more than simply affirming the truth of the gospel. When Paul says he's living by faith, it doesn't mean that he's simply affirmed that there are certain truths that he agrees with. Hebrews 11, we read that faith does exploits. It conquers kingdoms. It raises the dead. It endures persecution. Faith is a new way of seeing. It's seeing the world through new eyes, through these eyes of faith. I believe in the living God. I believe in the work of Christ. I believe in the reality of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit. I believe that he is who he said he is. And God opens your eyes by faith. You begin to see the world differently. By faith, you begin to believe. You believe that he is not only the truth, but he is able. He's able. He's able to deliver. He's able to heal. He's able to make new. And you believe by faith that you begin to step in obedience by faith. Faith risks things. It steps out. It acts in obedience to God. And faith receives. It opens. You open your hands by faith to say, Lord, I'm ready to receive by faith all that you have to give me. It's not complicated. We make it complicated, but it's not complicated. And faith trusts. Faith is not just trusting God for something. Faith is trusting God, period. It's just trusting God. So here is Paul just giving his testimony. He said, let me tell you what God's done in me. I've been crucified with Christ. This is not my work. But I, by God's grace, I've been crucified with Christ, and so I no longer live, but Christ now lives in me, and the life that I live in the body, I'm living by faith in the Son of God. Not living by faith in the creed, faith in the, you know, doctrinal statement. It's faith in Christ. My faith is in him. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You just need to stop there, dead stop, and just soak in that a while. The one in whom I have put my faith, my Savior, is the one who loves me and gave himself for me. And as we look at this as an example of one who walked in victory with the Lord, one of the reasons that Paul's life is marked by victory, and he goes through some awful things. His life is not marked by ease or by, long days of leisure. He's in the thick of it. But his life is marked by victory. And one of the reasons is he's so clear about his own identity, who he is in Christ. And I think one of the ways the enemy often keeps God's people from living in victory is he puts lies in our minds about our identity. And he convinces us that we're something other than who we are. And we just need to say, no, I'm not that. I'm a child of God, and he loved me and gave himself for me. The Christ I serve, the Christ who has called me by name, the Christ who has owned me as his child, the Christ who bought me with his own blood, loved me and gave himself for me. That's what's true about me. And when we lose sight of that, and we begin to listen to the lies of the enemy that says, "Who are you trying to kid? Everybody else at church, look around you. Everybody's got it together but you. You're the one person here who can't seem to get it together, can you?" And Satan begins to put those things in our minds. And I tell you, we're seeing it manifest in all kinds of ugly ways, even in the lives of God's people, with eating disorders and cutting and addiction to alcohol and to medicines and pornography and just all kinds of stuff of God's people not living in victory because they're listening to a lie of the enemy about who they are. They're not that. They're not that. You are dearly loved. This is the Christ that you serve is the one who loves you and gave himself for you. So refuse to listen to those lies of the enemy. So here's the good news. There's victory in Jesus. There is just victory in Jesus. We not only sing it, we believe it, and may God enable us by his grace to live that out in our lives. That is his intention for you. Nothing less than that is God's intention for you if you're his child. And if you've been settling for less, let's just come before God and just seek the counsel of some wise believers that you trust and spend whatever time in prayer. Some of these issues sometimes that are in our lives, they're not solved with just a quick word of prayer at the end of the service. Sometimes there are things where we just need to really spend some time uncovering the things that the enemy has done and bring them to the light and allow the Lord to cleanse us and wash us and set us free and restore us to hope and victory in life. Bow with me in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the victory that is ours in Jesus. We live in a world, Lord, that is, we look out on the chaos and the anger and the violence and the hatred and the confusion and the bondage. Lord, everywhere we look, we see the work of the evil one, and we just praise you that there is victory in Jesus and that Jesus puts all things under his feet. all things, and that Christ is risen from the dead. He is alive forevermore. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you have already won the victory. We're not waiting for it. It's already been won over Satan and over sin and over this world and over death. And Lord, may we be those who walk in that. We ask you to work in us this day in Jesus' name.